13:21. Jerry, will you help me?
Thank you.
Okay. This is the parable of the rich fool.
Are you going to read first?
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks, you. Melky, I would do the same for you. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger and bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God."
Kasaywa kalugta to plan pelu ka seru chiki sabu chita tila kichita do pala pagom kla tiga siba o tera malota yedopwe dito kanopani ya letani sa aser ki do weda siba o so mimta paya le pasinyo ta migi pano phata semigi letu phoko tigale do siba pot pha tapi ta ko khele ni to su ta do haset ke agedi pwa kinyo atamu temi ba sulo khoko o a a kele ni ba do siba o letak to do siwera pwa athu to tega ahokho satho amalo do sokmo welo asa do siweda yekamal dile agedi yetta tutatani yagapho alot uba do siweda yekamadi yekakol lokwi yepho do yekamado toki o do yekagapho yetta tutata do yetta phota likhele phene lo do yek siba yetta sa netta phota li a akale upali le ani ala goli do ubi ota ota do mulatki basa do yuwa siba o pahago pho kemunai tak khike nsa lena lo dinusu ta phota li le ne ketopa ni keke meta atale pwala apa phota le agoda we do sulo kho kho to uba do yuwa bani me ama asadi ni asulo.
Thank you.
Okay. We lay up our hand to Pastor Ross. Thank you, Lord, for today. Use Pastor Ross to speak to us. Use her, and through her, send your message. Send your hearts to us to be built, to be maybe to be corrections if something wrong in our heart. And use her. And we pray for her too, for the stomachs. In Jesus' name, she will be healing when she speaks about your word, because your word is so powerful. It's powerful to change for everything and for our life too. In Jesus' name, you anoint her. Amen.
Before I start, might need to turn this down a little bit because I'm loud. Before I start the sermon on the scripture, I just want to set the stage for our new sermon series and maybe kind of explain what Debbie put up here, which you probably couldn't see because we had Radomir here today. So we're calling this the Habits of the Heart, this series of five Sundays, and we're going to be talking about the seven deadly the S word, sin, right? We don't like to talk about sin, just pretend that it doesn't really exist sometimes. But not only are we going to talk about the seven deadly S words, we're going to talk about how God transforms us and what is replaced in our heart, okay? So up here, you'll notice that on one side of the cross, we have the way that leads to death, that leads to brokenness. And you can't really see, but there's a path here with an arrow. And today we're going to talk about envy and greed that are on this side. But when we have Jesus, when we go through the cross, we end up at hope and life. We didn't have blocks that spelled life, but eternal life, right? The opposite of death and hope. So the only way to get from this side to this side is through the cross and through the salvation of God. So we have to think about the S word, sin. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, like, I'm the pastor, I don't have any sin, right? Then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The sermon title was Love Affair with Sin. And the truth is, even the pastor, sometimes we find out that instead of having a love affair with Jesus and his way, we have a love affair with sin. We all want a God who, like, you know, gives us a good parking spot when we can't find one, and we pray to him, like, you know, make sure we have our paycheck, or like the new sneakers, whatever's out, when we pray for that, or, you know, it's going to heal us and make us comfortable. We like that God, right? But just like, oh, you should have seen Julia's face upon when I told this about the, yeah, because Marla gave me that example, so I knew that that was Julia, but I didn't want to say it. It's not fair, right? Whenever our parents or God gives us correction or gives us boundaries, we get mad. We don't want to do it. And somehow, just like Eve and Adam, we think that like that one tree is it, right? Like even though we have everything else to be grateful for, we gotta have that one. We gotta have that one. And so we believe the lies of Satan or the enemy, just like Eve did. Now I want to say one more thing about sin before we get into it. We tend to think of sin as like the big sins, like murdering someone. Or, you know, cheating on your spouse, or those kinds of things. But where sin starts is in our hearts. So when Jesus was on the earth and he was talking to people, he said, yeah, yes, the law of Moses says do not murder. That's true. But when you have hate in your heart towards someone, that's just as bad. Because he knows that that's where that takes us, right? That our heart so important. Our mind, so important. He said, yeah, it says don't commit adultery. That's what the law of Moses said. But when you start looking at other people like they're objects with lust in your heart, it's just like committing adultery. Because the habit of your heart is taking you down a path toward death instead of toward life. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm really hopeful that you're going to know the answer. Jesus said there are a lot of laws, but they're all summed up in two. And yes, my fingers have a little green on them. They're all summed up in two. What are the two commands of God that sum up all the commands of God? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you are doing those things, it's hard to do the sins that distort that love and twist it, like lust and hatred and greed and jealousy and envy. Next slide. So in the course of church history, there was a pope, Pope Leo, a really long time ago. Now there's lots of sins in the Bible. But he said there are seven sins that are deadly because they get a hold of your heart and they do very destructive things and they take you down a path that you do not want to go. And so those paths are up there: pride, lust, greed, envy or jealousy, sloth, wrath, gluttony. Nobody wants to preach on gluttony because, you know. Anyway, I was talking at our worship planning meeting and I said, we're going to talk about sin, Deb. You have to design a thing. And we're going to talk about envy and greed. And she's like, well, that's not good. That's not good. Because these are habits of our heart that can really twist us and have us focus on ourselves and do never lead to a good place. So today we're talking about jealousy or envy and greed. And first of all, we're going to define them. So let's define them. I tried to look up a picture of greed, and here's a kid with a mountain of cookies. Okay, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, but I just wanted to give a picture. And the definition of greed that I found is when you have this selfish and excessive desire for more of something. More is better, right? So, or bigger is better. So what do you want? You want money, you want power, you want fame, you want cookies, you want possessions. But you have this selfish desire for more, for more, for more, for more. That's greed. Next slide. Now, jealousy is the cousin of greed. I found this quote, right? Where we focus on what we want and we lose sight of what we really need. And so you want something somebody else has. Right? Because you're greedy and you're selfish and you want what they have and you're mad that they have it. So let's look at the definition of envy or jealousy. And there's a little kid. He has something perfectly good, right? He has a lovely little ice cream pop with many colors. It's beautiful, right? It's a what? Oh, I don't even know what that is. But he has one. But what does he want? The vanilla ice cream, right? So this is what we do when we're envious or we're jealous. Can someone get the lights up here because it's hard to see the screen? Thank you. So envy or jealousy is this desire to have something that's not yours. So it's pretty close, right, to greed. It's resentment when somebody else is successful or somebody else gets something and you think you deserve it and they didn't deserve it. So instead of being happy for them, you are envious or you're jealous of them. Or we also think of like in relationships, right? Or you're jealous boyfriend or a jealous girlfriend because, you know, or a wife or husband. It's this fear or anxiety that builds up in you. Why is she always spending time with him? Or why is this, you know, or why is this friend not hanging out with me? And when I was talking, you know, Marla was saying that that's something that like kids Julia's age deal with, right? Even they deal with this, like there's friends. Oh, you have to be my friend and not her friend, that kind of thing. So these are things that define envy or jealousy. Now let's see where these show up in the story today. So, this is a story, it's called The Parable of the Rich Fool. And God called somebody a fool in this, so, you know, it's a pretty big deal, you should pay attention. So we're in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. And it says that Jesus had like so many people around him, so many people, before we get to this story, so many people that he was teaching. And he was teaching away, and some yucky yuck raises his hand or just shouts out and interrupts him. And it's like, hey, teacher, you know, there's this inheritance thing going on in our family, and I want you to tell my brother that he should give me more of it. Right there we see jealousy, right? Jealousy, greed. Maybe his father already died, and instead of thinking about his father being dead and mourning him, he's like, how can I get more? How can I get more? What does Jesus say? He's like, dude, I'm not the one to deal with that. But let me tell you all a story. Right? Let me tell you all a story, because you are missing the point. My friend, you're missing the point. And Jesus often, when he told parables, he often just told the story and didn't explain it. And then later his disciples were like, Jesus, what did you mean by that? But this time around, he didn't do that. He like tells what it means, tells the story, and tells what it means again, because he wants to make sure you don't miss it this time. And he's telling it right after this guy was bugging him about his inheritance. So he tells the story of this farmer, right? And this farmer owns, before he tells the story, he says, don't be greedy. Watch out for greed in every form, because it shows up in ways you least expect it. That's my translation of what he said, okay? Don't be greedy for what you don't have. He said, life, real life, is not measured by all of your possessions. That's not life. And then he goes on to tell the story, okay? So he says, there's this farmer, and he had like all this property in this land, and he had this really great harvest, so much grain. He couldn't believe it. It was just huge. So he thinks to himself, self, and the Bible says he said this, self, what should I do? Like, I can't even fit all this in my barn. I know what I'll do. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. There he is getting the idea. See, he's real smart. And then I'm never going to have to work again. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of my life. He didn't talk to his family. He did not talk to his community, his faith community. He didn't talk to his rabbi. He just thought, I have the greatest plan. I'm going to be secure. I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to have to want for anything. And Jesus said that God said to him after he built bigger barns, you fool, this very night, everything you have will be taken from you because you will die. You are going to die tonight. And what did you do that mattered? What did you do that mattered? In servant leaders meeting this week on Tuesday night, we read this scripture and we talked about it, what it meant. And somebody said, wow, does it mean that we shouldn't save for the future? Somebody else said, we don't have enough money to save, but God always provides. And we were wrestling with this and trying to figure out, why did God say this man is a fool? Why did he say he was a fool? Is it because he was saving? Is saving wrong? Is enjoying your life wrong? No. It seems that what Jesus was saying, because he says it again at the end of the parable, when you are like gathering up all the cookies for yourself and thinking that somehow your big pile of cookies, your big house, your big car, your big whatever you have is going to protect you, and that is the foundation you're going to stand on to feel good about yourself and to feel secure in life, that's a problem. Because all of it can be taken away in a second. And Jesus said, you know, if you're doing that all for yourself and you're not thinking about loving God and loving neighbor, you're missing the whole point in life. Because that way leads to death. It does not lead to life. It does not lead to life. So let's apply it. What's underneath all this greed and jealousy and envy that we find sometimes stirring in our own self? And maybe greed and envy aren't your big sins. Maybe you have other habits of the heart, so you can apply it to anything. But I think what is underneath greed and envy or greed and jealousy is that we think somehow that we can secure our own future, our own happiness, our own life with a bunch of things. And we get sucked up into this big fat lie that joy and peace and love and meaning in life is found in having more power, more money, more clothes, more technology, more whatever it is, or the right kind of clothes, or whatever. And yeah, if I buy something new, I feel kind of happy for a few minutes. Don't you, Phyllis? Yeah. You love to tell me what you got at the thrift store. By the way, Phyllis, I got this and this at the thrift store. We love, you know, it makes us feel happy for a minute, right? But it doesn't actually sustain us for life. It isn't that deep joy that sits in our gut that lets us know that God loves us, that we are loved and we are known and we are precious. It doesn't give us that kind of life. Yes, it's true. If I could have a bigger paycheck, my life would be a lot more comfortable. It's true. But it would not. All the money in the world would... You can ask someone who's really rich if they are lonely. Or if they have meaning and purpose in life. They may have, because they may also know Jesus. But they may not. You can ask them. Those things do not buy love or buy hope or buy eternal life. They just don't. In fact, our greed and our jealousy can become this huge burden that we have to carry around. Because when I feel resentment towards someone, I'm going to tell you another story about when I was little. Because I learned these lessons young. So I told the children the story of how my niece, when she was born at age 6, I was 6 and she was a baby. I was very jealous because I thought my mom didn't have enough love to go around, right? Like I just thought there wasn't going to be enough love. I didn't understand that indeed there was going to be more love. But I had another problem. So our family didn't really hug and we didn't say I love you. Didn't mean we didn't love each other. It's just not how we operated. We were Pennsylvania Dutch, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. We just didn't do it. That generation. My brother gets married when I was 3, because he was, 21. Gets married to my sister-in-law and her family, big huggers. I love you. Hugging. And my sister-in-law had a sister that was sort of my age. I saw Lisa. I saw that my brother would hug her, would say, I love you, but he didn't say it to me. I was so jealous. I did turn green. I was so jealous of Lisa. I dreamed about ways that she could, be gone from the earth. That's how jealous I was. I'm not kidding. It was like this giant burden that was, eating me up inside. Because I wanted to be, it wasn't a bad thing what I wanted, right? I wanted a family that would say, I love you and hug. Now I'm, married into a family that does it all the time. So it worked out. And my family has learned, we've learned those habits to be different. But I'm saying that jealousy ate me up. So much so, I thought I was hiding it, but it must have been leaking out over my little niece. Now by this time she's 3 or 4. I was at her house and she was praying. And she prayed that I would like her Aunt Lisa. She knew as a little child how jealous I was. And I thought I was hiding it. Jealousy and greed, all the stuff that you accumulate, can become this huge burden. And a burden on your children if you die and they have to get rid of it, right? If you have filled your house with stuff. So this is not the life that God wants us to live. Luke records in the rest of the chapter, he records Jesus talking to his disciples. And I think he gives some really good ways to have a healthy heart that is not stingy and greedy and jealous, but is generous, is grateful. And he's talking to the disciples later on and he says, you know, be generous, give to the poor, make for yourselves wallets that don't wear out. In other words, not the kind that you can carry around, right? We want a treasure in heaven because that will never run out. Will never run out. No thief can take it. No moth can destroy it. Nobody can dent it. Nobody can break it because it's from God. And then Jesus tells his disciples, where your treasure is, the things that you treasure the most, your heart's going to be there. And so if you're treasuring Jesus and his way, your heart's going to be there. Right? So, how can we have habits of a healthy heart? How can we live gratefully instead of greedily? How can we live generously instead of being jealous? There's a parable that's from the Cherokee Nation. And it's not from the Bible, but it's still a good parable, okay? And there was a grandfather, and you may have heard this before, teaching his grandson. And he was trying to teach him how to live this way, right? And he said, grandson, every person has two wolves inside of them. And one wolf is trying to tell you to be, it's an evil wolf, and it's telling you to be greedy and jealous and angry and prideful and it's not fair and all of those things. And the other wolf is good, and it's trying to teach you to be generous and grateful and peaceful and loving. And those wolves are wrestling with each other. And sometimes we feel that in our minds and in our hearts, right? Like there's this tension, there's this fight going on. Like, should I do this or should I do this? We're fighting with ourselves. And the little grandson looked at his grandpa and said, Grandpa, which wolf is going to win? And do you know what Grandpa said? The wolf you feed. The wolf you feed. The wolf you feed will get bigger and stronger. And the wolf you don't feed will get smaller and weaker. So if you feed into greed and jealousy and those practices, that wolf will win. And if you feed into love and generosity and gratitude, that wolf will win. And we know that that wolf is the Holy Spirit, right? And that's the Spirit working in us. So as we look, as we finish out, oh, that slide didn't turn out. It was a beautiful heart made of pearls, but it didn't turn out very well. But how to have a healthy heart? Jesus says in his parable, you got to watch out. You have to be on guard for all kinds of greed. You have to notice when you start turning green or when, like, you start exploding inside, like the kid's story, right? You got to notice those. You got to call them out for what they are, sin. You got to confess them. Confess them. And then ask God to replace them with the way of love, the way of generosity, the way of gratefulness, the way of kindness. And the more you practice those things, the more your heart will be healthy. So as we close today, in the bulletin, you have slips of colored paper. I'll set it over here. We have slips of colored paper, and we're going to do a little exercise practice. Can someone get the lights again? We're going to do a little practice, and I'm going to time you. I'm going to watch the red on the clock. I'm going to time you, and I'm going to ask you to take a pen or pencil, and if you need more, there are pens and pencils in the back. So you can, Patty, can you help pass those pens and pencils out? If you don't have a little colored paper because we didn't print enough, just write it on anything. It's fine. It doesn't have to be on this. But what I want you to do when I start the timer is I want you to make a list of all the things you're grateful for. Patty's bringing pens and pencils around. Because when our hearts, and you can write in Korean or English or Indonesian or Spanish, I don't care. Patty's coming with pens. So when our hearts are filled with the things we're thankful for, it's a lot harder to be jealous. It's a lot harder to be greedy. You don't agree with me, Don? You're shaking your head like you're not sure about that. You just got to try it. Try it. So once everybody gets one, Bruce needs one, Patty. Oh, there's pens back there too. Yeah. So, and Apong is explaining, and when he explains, because I want everybody to have a full 30 seconds to do this, see how many you can think of. And then when we're done, Redimir is going to come up and lead us in a song, or they will be singing a song about being different and God changing us. If you'd like to, you can bring your colored paper or whatever you wrote on and stick it up here in the gratitude bin. And then we'll set it up by the cross, because this is a practice that will help us let go of envy and jealousy and greed when we remember the blessings that God has given us already. And we remember that our hands are full. Let me pray a prayer of confession with us. Some of you are already writing. It's don't start yet. That's cheating. Okay. No, not yet. Not until I say go. I did it. All right. Let's pray a prayer of confession. God, we acknowledge that sometimes our hearts do get a little greedy. We think more about what we want than what others need. Sometimes there's jealousy in our heart. We want what other people have or what society tells us we should have. God, we want our hearts to be filled with your love. We do desire to choose life over death. We do desire to be living in your abundance. So even as we do this simple practice this morning of writing down the things that we're grateful for, begin to transform our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you start, before I say the word G-O, it's scientifically proven, if you struggle with depression, that if you can think of three, even if you don't struggle with depression, if you can think of three things that you're grateful for every morning, it begins to rewire your brain. It really does. That's like science. Oh, I know two science things, that and that a thing I did over there. Okay. So, and I was reading and they said, even if you can't think of anything that you're grateful for, the practice of trying to think of something you're grateful for actually begins that work in your brain to rewire it. Ah, so Jesus knew that, and that's why you need to think about what you're grateful for. Okay. I'm gonna start you at 12. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds. Whoever's the fastest writer wins. On your mark. Go. You're writing for 30 seconds. Write more, Nydia.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen.
Oh, my bad. Right, the tape up. Ah, now we're good.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision. That you could move this heart to be set apart. I only recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. And oh, I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. Cause I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright that the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. I will spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world, but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is the fire so bright that the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. Cause I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone. And all that remains is the fire so bright that the whole world can see if there's something different. So come and be different in me.